Welcome to Monterey Bay This Week from KAZU News. It's Saturday, April 4th. I'm Elena Neal Sachs. The busiest day of the year for Monterey County Day Use Parks isn't July 4th or Memorial Day, it's Easter.
We usually have people lined out in front of Toro Park at, you know, upwards 4 o'clock in the morning.
That's Brian Flores, the county parks chief. If you're one of the 10,000 people he expects to show up at county parks on Sunday, be prepared for the Hunger Games.
When we open the gate, it's literally like the running of the bulls or something like that. Yeah, people are literally running across the grass and running down the road on bicycles, in their cars, trying to get their favorite picnic spot.
He says often big families choose parks because everyone can't fit in one home, but sometimes they bring parts of their homes with them.
Some people are bringing in, you know, full kitchen setups, you know, unloading huge barbecues.
He says there are some important rules visitors should keep in mind.
Dogs on leash, no alcohol, no confetti eggs, you know, pack it in, pack it out.
If you happen to snag a spot at Royal Oaks Park, you might just run into Flores in an Easter Bunny costume. If park crowds aren't your vibe, this weekend could be an opportunity to go on a local food tour. The inaugural Santa Cruz Vegan Chef Challenge kicked off this week and runs through the end of the month. 27 local businesses from Davenport to San Juan Bautista, including Girasol Pizza, Full Steam Dumpling, and Pharaoh's Plate, are offering new plant-based dishes alongside their usual menus. Diners can rate and review the food, and the winning dishes will be announced in early May. As some listeners experienced, there was some tectonic action in the region this week. KAZU's Katie Brown reports.
The U.S. Geological Survey is forecasting a 16% chance of a magnitude 3 or greater earthquake within the next week. That's from their forecast report after a 4.6 magnitude earthquake shook the Santa Cruz Mountains early Thursday morning. USGS data pinpointed the earthquake's epicenter near Boulder Creek. Residents as far north as San Francisco Bay and as far south as Monterey County said they were jolted awake from the shaking. The Boulder Creek Fire Protection District reported no calls about the earthquake.
That was Katie Brown. Funding to prevent homelessness is looking more secure after a federal appeals court on Wednesday kept in place a block from a lower court. That's another blow to the Trump administration's efforts to radically change the landscape of federal homelessness funding. The ruling prevents new grant requirements from the Department of Housing and Urban Development from taking effect. Those restrictions took aim at permanent housing programs. Homelessness experts say the changes would have threatened housing stability for tens of thousands of people across the country, including dozens on the Central Coast. As KAZU's Ngozi Cole reported this week, state officials are worried about nicotine use among young Californians.
The California Department of Public Health has launched a campaign to educate young people about the dangers of nicotine products, including vapes. State data shows that nearly 10% of 12th graders use tobacco products, including vapes and nicotine pouches. The Public Health Department warns nicotine harms the developing brain and is highly addictive. The $5.2 million campaign comes from a state settlement with vape company Juul Labs.
And speaking of public health, Santa Cruz County is expanding a free well water testing program. Aaron Malsbury has that one.
Private wells provide drinking water to more than 21,000 people in Santa Cruz County. Water Resources Program Manager Sierra Ryan says many either weren't tested for contaminants when they were built or were only tested for a few toxins.
A lot of the things that can contaminate wells, you wouldn't be able to taste them, you wouldn't be able to see them, you wouldn't be able to smell them. But they can have a health impact.
The county already offers free water testing to anyone on a domestic well. Now, through a state grant, the county will add 12 new contaminants to the 22 they already test for.
If you were to do this yourself, it would cost, you know, upwards of $500 or $600 to do the extensive testing that we're offering.
Ryan says the county already offers testing for the most common contaminants in the area. Those are nitrate from agriculture, naturally occurring hexavalent chromium and arsenic, and chloride along the coast from seawater intrusion. For some income levels, the county offers replacement water if contaminants are found.
Aaron was also out reporting in the Santa Cruz Mountains during last weekend's No Kings protests.
Thousands of people gathered at No Kings protests around the Central Coast on Saturday. In addition to Santa Cruz, Watsonville, Monterey, and Salinas, smaller towns also held events.
And this guy has dogs against dictators, and they were never eating the dogs.
Liz Fraser brought two dogs wearing signs on their backs to downtown Felton, a community of about 4,500. She was impressed that several dozen people showed up.
This is Felton, okay? This is big for Felton. Like, I've never seen Felton have this much of a crowd at the corners.
She hopes it's symbolic of the entire nation.
That even in small communities, you got turnouts on all the corners, like even in tiny little red neighborhoods and stuff, you've got turnout.
So April Zilber was also happy with the crowd. Like most people here, she's concerned about the state of democracy.
I come from Jewish roots, so we have a historical experience with fascism, and I don't want to see that here.
Many expressed outrage over the Trump administration detaining people without due process and going to war without congressional approval. More than 100 people gathered in Scotts Valley, where Michelle Besmer says Congress should be voting on things like war.
And I may not like what they vote for, but at least they're the ones making the decision.
Margaret Schraft says this was the first No Kings protest in the city of 12,000.
I think it's impressive. I'm glad they put it here in Scotts Valley, too, as well as Boulder Creek.
She brought a sign that reads, Member of Grand Tifa, Grandparents Against Fascism.
We're ending the episode with a package of reporting that aired on Tuesday, the holiday now known as Farmworkers Day. We take a look at the challenges facing farmworkers today and how the legacy of the United Farmworkers shows up more than 60 years after its founding. But first, KAZU's Amy Mayer with reporting from Katie Brown on how some local residents and public officials have reacted to recent news about Cesar Chavez.
In the 2 weeks since the New York Times published sexual assault allegations against Cesar Chavez, the day has been renamed to honor farmworkers instead of him. A Salinas resident named Margaret called into KQED's forum show. She questioned rushing to scrub Chavez's name when the same hasn't happened for others accused of crimes.
But we as a culture, and here in California, maybe because it's an election year, are quick to tear down a legacy that is going to destroy a whole Latino coalition.
Others have asked why Chavez's United Farmworkers co-founder Dolores Huerta and other women are only now speaking up.
I can completely understand why somebody would not come forward.
That's Leanne Luna, CEO of Monarch Services, which supports domestic and sexual violence survivors. She says many feel shame around disclosing what happened, and that ratchets up when the accused has power. Huerta said she kept her secret for decades to protect the farmworker movement. But Luna says no longer lionizing Chavez doesn't undermine the collective work.
It doesn't take away from all of the other people who were part of this movement, who impacted it in a positive way, who moved it forward, who continue to advocate.
Monterey and Santa Cruz counties will remove references to Chavez, but Santa Cruz Supervisor Monica Martinez said last week, beyond that, it's important
that we as leaders work to dismantle the systems and the structures that allow this type of abuse to continue to happen in secret.
March 31st is now Farmworkers Day in California, and in Monterey County, the holiday is Farmworker Appreciation Day.
It's been more than 50 years since Cesar Chavez, Dolores Huerta, and several Filipino labor organizers helped secure collective bargaining rights and safety guarantees for farm workers. Laws exist today that may have never come to fruition without that movement. Ricardo Nunez provides immigration services for the United Farmworkers Foundation in Salinas. He says the recent shocking revelations about Chavez's history of sexual assault go against everything the UFW stands for and are even more of a reason to support farm workers.
We're here and we will be here.
But even beyond the recent news, Chavez's legacy is mixed.
Honestly, Cesar Chavez was not really somebody that I really looked up to a lot because of his history against undocumented farm workers.
Jessica Guzman Rodriguez is the lead organizer in Monterey County for the Centro Binacional para el Desarrollo Indígena Oaxaqueño. She says Chavez's strategy of fighting for farm workers with legal status while sidelining those without contributed to the challenges facing undocumented farm workers today.
it shouldn't have been local resident farm workers against undocumented farm workers. If it had been a more united front, I think it would have helped advance the farm worker movement for everybody.
The UFW played a key role in passing overtime pay laws and mandating clean water and restrooms at work sites. But Guzman Rodriguez says ensuring those laws are actually enforced remains a challenge.
The laws that are in the books are not the laws that are really being followed in the fields.
She says it'll take more oversight to ensure the rights of all farm workers are respected. Finally, an interview on the broader issues that emerge when society clings to the historical impact of a single person. Here's Amy again.
UC Santa Cruz philosophy professor Lauren Lyons says there's a human tendency to use one person to explain a historical movement. While that can be, as she says, narratively satisfying, it's also quite problematic because it doesn't represent reality.
So zooming out from this case, I think it's really important to resist this sort of thinking, to not ask what an individual did, but to ask what the movement did. In the case of Chavez, the farm workers movement was never just one man. There were countless other leaders and farm workers who participated in strikes, who organized their workplaces, who showed up at the picket line. The whole moral logic of a union is that individually we're powerless, but together we can attain huge victories. It's especially ironic in the case of labor history that we would think about this in terms of one individual. And now this is a moment where we can have a reckoning about the collective power and the collective action that went into this.
And there have been many powerful people whose complexities and flaws have come out. And I don't think we've seen such a quick and collective effort to almost erase a name. Do you have thoughts about why this is happening in this way now?
I think we're already in the mix of a historical reckoning about memorials, is that they're not just historical record keeping that just says what the facts on the ground, what happened, this person lived here. But what most philosophers think is that they have this important communicative function. So they sort of speak to everyone who passes them. And this is especially important for monuments, given that they're in public space. And what they express is actually quite morally loaded. On one hand, they might express our values as a community, who we are. And on the other hand, they might function as a sort of moral endorsement. So saying this is the type of person that we want to emulate. And what these monuments to Chavez expressed prior to these revelations is still so important. Solidarity with exploited workers, the power of collective action, the dignity of people rendered invisible. Those values are no less important in the wake of the Chavez revelations. But now these monuments express something different, given what we know. I think that the solution is not just to tear down the monuments. We actually have to ask, how can we affirm and express those values that made those monuments valuable in the first place? And there's a lot of moves to do this in California and elsewhere. So the renaming of Cesar Chavez Day as Farm Workers Day, that expresses the more collective nature of the movement instead of this individual heroism.
Do you think there will be, on a broader level, any more consideration for not memorializing individuals?
I hope so. And I think that this is a moment that can encourage that reckoning, because reducing social movements to individual people is always a reduction of the historical reality and the collective power that went into them. And so maybe this is a moment not to just look for another name, but to actually think about ways to express collective power and to express it creatively.
That's really interesting. I've been speaking with Lauren Lyons. She's a professor of philosophy at UC Santa Cruz. Thanks for talking with me today.
Thanks, Amy.
This episode was produced by me, Elena Neal Sachs. It was reported by me, Katie Brown, Aaron Malsbury, Ngozi Cole, and Amy Mayer, our news director. That's it for Monterey Bay this week. We'll be back next week with more local news.